Well, hello there. My name is HW, and thank you so much for listening to the Tone Junkie Podcast, episode 53. Can you hear that? Can you hear the roaring engine in the background? I'm literally in my Model 3. It is the most fabulous daily driver you could imagine. And I'm actually doing this podcast on autopilot. It's tremendous. If you could see me right now, you'd realize my hands are in the air. I'm moving around. The car is driving itself, and it's recording a Tone Junkie podcast. Would you believe that? I hope this audio sounds okay. I'm literally doing a podcast while not driving this vehicle. By myself, it's driving itself and producing a Tone Junkie podcast. I mean, what an amazing time to be alive. I hope you can hear the excitement in my voice, because this is literally a pod. I might even go on Facebook Live in a little bit. Because it's literally just driving for me. I mean, we're going 78 miles per hour. My hands are off the wheel. My foot is off the accelerator. I'm following a truck, and I have it, and it's just, and it. I have it on so that I don't even need to confirm lane changes. It overtakes slow vehicles. It's bringing me 9 miles away from my house, where I'm going to go pick up a fabulous amp. That I'm really excited to profile this weekend. It's the Divided LDW, and by the time you hear this podcast, it either will be out or will be a day or two from being out. And it's really one of the more popular amps I've been seeing around Nashville. It's the Marshall thing from Divided. And, you know, Divided, they do a thing. They're inspired by circuits, but they're not shy about changing those circuits. Like the Deluxe one, you know? That we just did, the Divided Deluxe thing, Divided Deluxe, we call it, or Delayed Deluxe, whatever we call it, who knows. It's free, though. You should go check that out if you haven't checked it out. It's a free profile pack, but it's awesome. And that is an awesome amp, and that amp looks like it's going to be purchased by my buddy Ryan, who's in the KPW group there, and he likes the amp so much he may be getting it. So I'm excited about that. Now, let's talk about the kind people at Taco Bell who actually bought me this car and are buying me the amp, because so many of you guys went out and bought Mexi Melts last couple weeks after listening to the podcast. It was obvious where you were coming from. I mean, there was no dispute. You must be coming from the Tone Junkie podcast. So the kind people at Taco Bell are now the official sponsor of the Tone Junkie podcast. No, they're not, and they still won't return my calls, but you can still get a Mexi Melt. Guys, my car is literally in the middle of a lane change while I'm doing the Tone Junkie podcast. I can't believe it. It just it's going around a car right now. It really is special. You just wait till I figure out how to get the onboard driver cam that looks back at me to record, what I want it to. And I'm just going to do video versions of the podcast right here from the car. No, really, I got some videos coming up, but I figured most people on YouTube probably do not want to see the me talk about the Model 3. Although I talked to my tax guy, and he said, you're writing off all this guitar stuff. Have you thought about doing other content? Like, could you make money doing other content? He's like, could you just do another YouTube channel? And I thought, well, I could, but I mean, it's hard to make money on monetizing YouTube stuff. Those guys have, guys like Ninja, they have like a billion, subscribers and stuff. And Tone Junkie's just a small channel. We don't have much. So that's why I don't ever try to monetize the channel. I don't try to put commercials on because, it just doesn't feel like it's in this. It doesn't feel like it's worth it. And then people would just have to watch like commercials, during Tone Junkie TV. And I don't know. It doesn't feel right. Maybe if it was like, I would do it if I could send my kids to college by doing it. You know what I mean? But at this point, it's like just so little. It would just be such an inconvenience to everyone. Would it really be worth it? I don't think so. So I never did it. I'm not going to do it. But he was like, if you just made another YouTube channel and you tried to get more subscribers and then you just like reviewed stuff, you could write all of it off. And I thought, well, huh, that's interesting. I could write it all off. That's really interesting. While I've been talking about doing another YouTube channel, my car just exited one freeway and is now going to another freeway, which is really very cool. it makes you a little nervous sometimes. You know, like, what if it just decides it wants to crash? You know, what do you do then? I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, I know the answer to that question. You take over the wheel. You take over the wheel, you know? That's what you do. But anyway, no, I was joking about the Taco Bell thing. They're not a sponsor, and I don't know that anyone's buying Mexi Melts after that podcast. In fact, that podcast is really more of a commentary on the types of people who go to Taco Bell. It's the types of people who forget their wallet, I think. So I don't know, man. But anyway, let's talk about this this amp I'm going to be profiling, because I'm really excited about it. And I'm just going to take over driving again, because I do enjoy driving this car. Again, I hope the audio's good. This LDW thing is a really popular amp around Nashville. It does the Marshall thing, and I'm really excited about it because my buddy's owned it for a while, and I'm going to put some NOS glass in it, and it's going to sound great. And I'm just really stoked on it. I think it's a killer sounding amp, and it's one I've actually been wanting to do for a while. In fact, I actually was going to do these two divided amps together, but I decided not to. I decided just to do that first divided as a freebie, and then do the second one as this LDW, as like a full pack for sale and stuff. So I'm gonna try and do the Klon Marshall thing, the Klon and the Tube Screamer Marshall thing, and I might even throw some Bloom stuff, the Broken Arrow stuff in there. I got the new 1981 now, which is cool. And so I'm going to try and throw all of these profiles in this next pack, so I'm excited about it. So if you're a pedal guy, I know a lot of Nashville cats use this LDW as a pedal platform. Now, it's a Marshall-esque pedal platform, but this LDW really is sort of a cleaned-up Marshall. It's really a refined Marshall, and I'm really excited about it. But on to that, I mean, enough of that. You know, you guys will see stuff about the opening pack. There's two things I want to talk about today. One is, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, the evening that I'm going to upload it, or you're listening to this on Wednesday, which will be Wednesday the 22nd, it's going to be Golden Lion Day at Tone Junkie. And if you guys are not familiar, Max, who makes Golden Lion profiles, who's been an encouraging dude to me, hang on, I got to pause for a second. There's another Tesla pulling up behind me, and Tesla owners wave at each other, okay? We just do. So I'm going to wave. He waved back. They always wave back. We're like Jeep owners, guys. You know, we're trying to save the world. One Model 3 at a time. I'm kidding. Okay, I know. I'm that guy now who talks about the Tesla all the time. But it really is a fantastic automobile. Let's talk about Max for a second, though. Max is a really good guy. He's been really encouraging to me. Max hit me up some time ago, and he totally was just like, "Hey, HW, you know, what you're doing with Tone Junkie is really inspiring, and the content you guys put out and everything, and what you're doing for the Kemper community, just, I love it, you know, thank you." So let's, okay, you know, thanks, you know, just thanks for being part of the community. And I said, "Max, dude, thanks so much, man. I'm very much aware of you. I see your stuff. You're doing a great job. Your site looks great. Max's photos and everything looks great. Looks super professional. You know, with Tone Junkie, sometimes I go for the kind of in-your-face pink and brash sort of color scheme and everything. And, you know, I kind of do that on purpose, to be honest with you, because in this world, I feel like cool is something that changes all the time. And I never really know, I don't know how cool HW is, but I know how HW is. You know what I'm saying? And so my mantra, my thing with Tone Junkie is like, I've seen a lot of people, you know, who's like, I feel like the tone of the Kemper people in the Kemper world sometimes is just very like metal, you know, it's just very like, yeah. So that's what's kind of inspired me to just be like the dude with the monkey with pink hair, you know, and like pink writing. And it doesn't always make a ton of sense. And maybe it's obnoxious, and maybe it's cost me sales or something. I don't care. You know, you gotta do what is right for you, and you gotta be authentic to yourself. And one of the things I really believe in, is the idea of generosity. And I really do believe that it's a forgotten business principle, and that it is better to give than to receive. I really do believe that. And I really do believe that the success Tone Junkie has had has been in direct relationship to my I believe that's been a direct relationship to my desire to just try to help the Kemper community. And I try to help the Kemper community by, you know, by giving away free packs, by giving away samples, by having a generous free pack, and, you know, putting lots of stuff out there, by doing tips and tricks videos to try and educate people. You know, I remember getting into Kemper at first, and I really just felt like there was a lot of questions about how to use this unit, and I didn't feel like Kemper nor the Kemper forums, like, did a great job at explaining what to do and everything. And I felt like there was also this idea that the more you turn knobs, the less good your sound is going to be. And I just think that's so not true, you know? I just think that's not true at all, you know? So I just try to let people know, like, here's how you can make your Kemper sound its best, you know? And here's what you can do to get good tone. At the end of the day, I've really come to a point where I don't really care about the signal chain. I don't care about any of that. I don't care about even being authentic in recreating tones or recreating sounds. What I really care about is good tone. And so when I see, like, people, you know, like, going, oh, that shouldn't make sense, you know, or why do you need to do that, or you should, you know, or tubes this, or, you know, I had a guy just tell me the other day, well, because, you know, only tubes can make those odd order harmonics, or those even order harmonics, and the other harmonics that come from everything else is, and it's like, that's not true. That was true of, that's true of transistors, but that's not true of, it's not true of non, you know, of everything else. Tubes can make even order harmonics, so can digital. That's why you can hear a tube amp through a digital stereo. That's only true of transistors, not true of digital units. You can record, I mean, it's a math problem to create harmonics. And you know what computers are really good at? They're really good at math. my car's so, this car that I'm driving, I just put my life in its hands because I believe computers are really good at math. So good at math that I believe they cannot kill me and also sound like the amp that I want it to sound like. So, anyway, I really think generosity is important. And, Max, has sort of put out a call to the Kemper community, sort of a call for aid, and just a call for help, helping hand. And, his mother has been diagnosed with a terminal illness. I believe it's cancer. I could be wrong. She doesn't have long to live, and that's what it looks like. And so I posted on the KPW group, you know, for those of you from the KPW group on Facebook that listen, I just posted if you guys could be praying and supporting Max. And I just want to put it out there to the podcast listeners and to everybody. If you guys could be praying, and if you're not a person of faith, if you're not a religious person, just, you know, good thoughts, good vibes, whatever. But if we could also try to help support Max at Golden Lion Audio right now, I think that would just be really stellar and an amazing thing for the community to do. Max is basically hanging up his profiling shoes for the next couple months because that's how long his mom has and he wants to spend that time with his mother. And I just think that, you know, if I was in that position, if something happened to my wife, or my kids or my mother or my father, and I needed to just, take a break for a minute and sort of, stop doing Tone Junkie, you know, like, would I want the freedom to do that? I would 100%, I would hope that I could have the freedom to do that, you know, financially and everything. And I would hope that people's support would really help. I would hope that they would be able to just, I hope that I would be able to not worry about work and not take time, not take precious time, and commit it towards work when really the much more important thing is spending time, with the loved ones whose time might be super limited. So I think one thing to think about is just, you know, what would we want someone to do for us in that situation? And so I think the best thing as a Kemper community we can do is support people who need our help and who are part of the community. And Max, I think, is a good part of the community. I've tried his profiles and they're good. They are good.
I wouldn't say that if I didn't think that, you know. His Hiwatt pack, I was playing around with earlier today, and I think if you're a Hiwatt fan, you should get that pack. I haven't done any Hiwatt amps, and I'm not too familiar with their sound, but this pack sounded great. Kind of a high headroom kind of thing, British thing. I understand where the Pete Townsend connection comes from when I listen to those profiles. And so I just want to say, if you guys could support Golden Lion Audio and go buy a couple packs. Max has got packs, you know, around the $20 range, a lot of packs. If you could support that. But one thing you could also do is tomorrow, Wednesday the 22nd, is Tone Junkie, is a Golden Lion Day at Tone Junkie. And anything you buy at the Tone Junkie store is going to go right to Max. All the revenue from Tone Junkie for that day is going right to Max to help Max not have a financial burden while he takes the time to care for his mom and spend what time she has left with her. And you know, I'm a person of faith, and that faith is rooted, you know, in the belief that I believe we're our best when we're trying to serve other people and we're trying to help other people. And I believe that the world is its best when we're not just looking out for ourselves, but we're looking out for each other. And we wouldn't all have to look out for ourselves so much if other people were looking out for everybody else. We could rely on others more often. And so, if you guys would join me in supporting Max, that would be great. You can do that by buying from the Tone Junkie store on Wednesday the 22nd. Or you can go ahead and you can buy directly from Golden Lion Audio now or anytime in the future. And thanks so much, dudes. I'm gonna get into talking about technology and tubes and stuff in the next segment, but I want to leave this segment right here because I'm gonna run in and grab this amp. And yeah, just go check out Max's stuff. It would be great if we all could support him. Okay. Segment two, I got the LDW, and we're on our way to Taco Bell. No, we're not. We're on our way to get the Sue's and go to Sonic. No, we're not. We are actually something that I want to talk about is something you're going to be seeing more of on the Tone Junkie channel, and it's kind of something that's been on my mind lately. And I had an experience that really sort of proved it. You're going to see a video coming up with myself and Michael Britt, and we're both trying out this new Valve Train. Valve Train powertrain cabinet with the Kemper. And okay, guys, just listen. I need you to open your mind for a minute. I need you to really, I know you're a Kemper owner, you're a Kemper user, and you think that means you're enlightened now. I really, really need you to just throw away all the misconceptions. Because I don't know what to tell you when things don't make sense, but they sound good, other than our preconceived notions must be in error if we think something can't work, but it does. That means we have prejudice against the thing. You know what I mean? Like that means we don't judge it correctly. You know what I'm saying? And so, what do you do when you think you know what things should be, you think you know how things should sound, and then something comes along and sounds great, and it shouldn't? Well, I'll tell you what you should do. You should trust your ears. Because it's all about tone. You know, Leo Fender never put together any of this stuff and thought, oh, I got an idea. You know, the conventional wisdom says 12AX7s will work really well here. No, he didn't think that. There were no rules. Right? They got a bunch of stuff that was super cheap to put together, and they were, I mean, he made the guitars with removable necks so nobody would have to refret them. You could just put on a new neck. You know what I'm saying? So much of what we play and the sound we believe in, the sound that we're after, is you know, cost and ease of use. And these things contribute so greatly to it. We really should think about some of the preconceived notions we hold on to, how valid they really are when left to their own devices. So now I'm going to tell you what happened to me, and I'm going to tell you what I think I learned from it. I got a call from the people at British Audio, and they said, "Hey, HW, would you and Michael Britt like to come down here and check out a piece of gear that somebody thinks you might find interesting?" Well, I said, "Of course, I'd love to check that out. What is it?" And they said, "This guy is making tube power amps and speaker cabinets for the Kemper. He makes a box that's supposed to make your Kemper sound like it's got tubes in it." Now, immediately, my malarkey meter started peaking. Some of you call it your BS meter. I call it my malarkey meter. I'm a gentleman. But I started thinking, well, this is ridiculous. I'm a believer. I'm a true believer in the Kemper, and it captures the tone of these tube amps. It really does. Could there be slight differences? Yes, but who cares? Like, there's slight differences amongst the amps themselves, right? So, the Kemper is doing more than a good enough job of capturing that amp, that the Kemper doesn't sound more different than that amp than another example of that amp might. So, like, what I'm saying is, can you, after you profile the 62 AC30, can you tell the difference? Like, you have to listen and it has to be quiet, and you've got to be so close. You maybe could pick up, like, oh, there's a slight little frequency dipper. This has just the slightest bit more of this. But if you got another AC30 in the room from the same year, it would sound more different than that Kemper profile does from the original amp. So when someone tells me, oh, the Kemper needs a tube amp to come alive, you need to put it, I'm like, no, it's not a digital preamp. It captures everything. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, listen, I went and met this guy. And the guys at Valve Train, you know, they had made a product. I didn't expect to like it. I got to tell you something. Michael Britt didn't expect to like it either. And sometimes you get what you expect, and this was not one of those times. So we plugged the thing in, and immediately I started saying, you know, it's a little bright. So I started defeated the cabinet, and I started going, you know, I can hear there's no cabinet on. And I started talking to the guy, and I said, I defeated the cabinet, you know, so that there's not two cabinets going on. And he said, I actually made this, tube amplifier kind of flat. Like, it's not as colored as you might expect a normal power amp to be. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. He said, because, you know, those old, like, Macintosh power amps, you know, they were made with 6L6s. And when you still today want to produce really high-end audio, you go to those. You still go to tubes. They're still some of the best. And, you know, does it have color? Well, everything has some color. It's got a nice warmth to it. You know, the highs come through fine, but it's warm. Oh, okay. So I started playing it, and I started real. So then we started trying speakers, and I immediately identified that it was he had an EV type speaker in there, and that was what I wasn't digging. But as soon as I got into speakers that I did like, as soon as I went to the more creamback stuff, I went, ah, I like this. Now I could hear the unit for what it was, and he was letting me know, you know, there's all sorts of speaker choices, just whatever you want to do. Some guys might like this EV thing, and again, the EV thing, kind of hearkening back to the Macintosh Jerry Garcia idea, which is let's take a twin and let's feed it through an even higher power amp, but it's still super clean. So what they basically designed here with this Powertrain 50, it's 6L6s that the power amp's been designed to be more flat than an amplifier. And then you could run that through whatever speaker you want. Now, they'll put different speakers in it, depending on the model, you know, whatever you order in it. But my God, it sounded like a tube amp in the room. Michael Britt played his profiles. I played my profiles. You think if there's two people who know what the profiles are supposed to sound like, it might be HW and Michael Britt playing their own profiles. And I'm sitting there scratching my head as Michael's playing. He's playing his Colonial profiles. And I'm going, you know, what do we have here? We have now the Kemper that has captured a preamp,
a phase inverter, a power amp, a speaker. It's capturing an entire amp, but it's an entire amp circuit. But it's also captured, you know, the power tubes and a speaker and mics and pre's. And all that is now being fed into another flat power amp and another speaker with coloration. And I thought, this shouldn't work. This doesn't make any sense. It shouldn't work. And then something dawned on me. Two things dawned on me. One is, what the Kemper captures is an amplifier, a cabinet, speaker, microphone, and preamp, right? Mic pre's. And again, that doesn't sound like anything. It still has to be put through a speaker again for someone to hear it. When you go play a live show, it gets put through the mains. So actually, putting that whole signal through another set of speakers is what we always do. We just put it through a flat set of speakers, or what we believe is flat, flat-ish. Now, that would make sense for an FRFR, but this thing sounded, honestly, with no aliasing, no weird phasey stuff, the tweeter wasn't throwing out any extra frequencies. It sounded like an amp in the room because we were putting it back through a guitar speaker. So it's almost like miking that whole thing again through. It doesn't make sense, is what I'm saying. I'm trying to make sense of it, and it doesn't make sense. But what makes sense is that it sounded good. And what makes sense is that Michael Britt texted me after and said, was it just me, or did those things sound great? And I texted back, they did. They sounded great. They really did. What do you do when something sounds great and it shouldn't work? It shouldn't work because the rules say it shouldn't work, but it does. I'll be honest with you guys, it sounded like the amp in the room. It sounded like a Colonial. Now, if we took a Colonial and ran it into speakers in the room, right? If we turned off the cabinet, ran into speakers, or did this whole thing, where it's the whole profile with the cabinet and then ran that profile with the cabinet into a Powertrain 50, which is a flat-ish tube amp, power amp, with a speaker, would that sound better? I don't know. It probably would sound in some way colored. But I'm telling you, it sounded good. I think if you're a Helix guy and you're looking for a way to get an amp tone in the room with your Helix, you might really look at this. But this is not meant to be a commercial for the Powertrain 50. They gave me one. They honestly, and I'm just being transparent here because I always want you guys to know what's going on. I'm not endorsing the product yet, but they gave me one. You're going to see a video this week. You're going to see a video this week, and it's going to be myself and Michael Britt just talking about it after we played it and talking about what the uses might be and talking about it, you know, for people and seeing if, you know, just discussing what people might use it for. Now, I was asked, do you want to be an endorser? You know, and hey, we'll give you a unit, and if you want to endorse it, we'd love to be able to say, this is, you know, HW approved, or HW rocks one of these. And I've got the unit, and I'm testing it out, and I'm trying it, and really what it is I don't love the EV speaker that they put in it. And I talked to them. They said they could put any speaker in it. They're still trying to test the market and feel what kind of speakers are people looking for. So they offered to change the speaker out. I just took it as is, and I said, I'll try it through some speakers, you know. But look, they gave me one, and right now it's on loan. Because I basically told them, I said, look, if I end up wanting, telling people this is a thing you should get, this is a thing I endorse, this is something I can get behind, then I'll let you give me one for that. But if not, I'll just give it back to them at NAMM, because they're going to be at NAMM and I'm going to be at NAMM. And if I'm not into it, that'll be that. And I made this video that just makes people aware of it. And I, you know, look, I'm going to tell you this. It sounded good in that room. I've been testing it out at home. It sounds darn good at home.
I kind of, my only preservation here is I want the Tone Junkies to hear it. I want John and Nate and maybe another buddy or two to hear it next to some other cabinets and just test the thing out. And I think that would be a really interesting piece of content. I think I want to try and do that next week. Because I don't know. I don't know. I think there's a problem in the digital community of people going, this is a great direct solution, but how do I get amp in the room tone? And for me, I've kind of adjusted to FR, FR speakers and to playing through, speakers, studio monitors, but I get not everyone does that. And I, a lot of times, am still playing amps in the house now. I there was a long period where I never played amps, but right now I have a 62 Vox AC30 and a 1965 Deluxe Reverb literally just sitting in my house, and I can't help but play it. So, you know, they're fun, but they're too darn loud. So I just go back to the Kemper and play the profiles usually. But, you know, I do turn them on from time to time. I try pedals through them and stuff, you know, and then go back to the Kemper and just enjoy the Kemper for what it is, which is the best piece of guitar technology ever. But I kind of go to this thing like, what do we do with that when things don't make sense? And it makes me realize it doesn't need to make sense. Because, you know, as I was sitting there in a room full of guys at British Audio, you know, some other people came in. Like, there was some guy who works with Eddie Van Halen, and there was a bunch of other people who weren't really familiar with the Kemper, and they just wandered in for the free lunch and stuff. And the guys from J Rocket were there. And pretty soon, I'll tell you this. I hope that nobody listens to this podcast and thinks I'm making fun of them, because I'm not. But at some point, I'll tell you what it was. It was HW and Michael Britt sitting in a room of middle-aged men playing Led Zeppelin riffs way too loud, harming each other's hearing. And going, oh, that's tone. And I just think, so what? Like, so what? Zepp is old. I love Zepp, but Zepp is old. And if Zepp does a reunion concert, I'll go. But other than that, I don't go see people play live Zepp music. I'm not going to see Zepp cover bands. And there's not enough Zeppelin cover bands out there. There's not enough loud rock and roll out there, at least in my world, that I want the products out there to be limited to only be able to do that. You know how many guys on Broadway in Nashville play 65, original 65, 66, 67, 64 deluxe reverbs all the time? Because they're small, they're portable, they're pretty roadworthy, and they sound great. A lot of guys. But guess what? Most people are not playing in clubs that loud all the time. What do you do for all the churches that need silent stages? What do you do for all the people who contact me? All the actual, I can't tell you what artists, but I actually got contacted by a really big name artist to just go down there and walk them through the Kemper because they saw me online. Somebody in their band knows me and said, I know that guy. Why don't you, he'll come in and show us what the Kemper can do. We could try it out. And I said, sure, of course I'll come down. Yeah. I'll bring my Kempers by and we'll have fun. It'll be great to meet everybody. Why are they doing that? They're not doing that because, oh, they hate loud music all of a sudden. They're not doing that because they're doing that because the industry's changed and they need direct solutions. They're doing that because they can't always have 110 decibel concerts. A lot of times they're playing in smaller theaters, smaller clubs. Not even small. I mean, clubs that seat 200 people, 300, 400 people. But there's a lot of these smaller, intimate venues that are just awesome, especially these ones that have been restored. You can't bring a Marshall full stack. Not only is it's disrespectful to the audience. Look, if you're Jimmy Page, it makes sense. That's what you do all the time. If you're Joey Landreth, it doesn't make sense. If you're Bob Weir, it doesn't make sense. If you're frickin' Neil Diamond, it doesn't always make sense that you're doing your bridge school benefit concert and you're going to blast people away for 100 with 125 decibels. Why wouldn't you just call the Air Force and park a jet on the stage and turn it on? That is what that is. So why would you do that? You wouldn't. So whenever I find myself, I'll tell you, I'm going to rail on the industry here. I can't tell you how many people I see in the industry, amp makers, pedal dudes, who I just like, I watch them do this and I'm like, dude, that's not even the market anymore. Like, a pedal Well, it can sound like Hendrix, but nobody plays at that decibel level. So, like, don't turn the amp up that loud and test it. It doesn't quite make sense. Like, I just don't really think that's the use case anymore for most people. It's not. And I don't, it's why I think the whole sound in the room thing is so kind of an interesting question of like, how do you get a sound in a room? I think that the amp sound in the room largely has to do with the physics of turning an amp too loud in a room. And I think one of the reasons this Powertrain 50 works well, and I think running a Kemper, a power Kemper, into a guitar speaker just is the best solution for that, rather than trying to make an FR-FR that limits the frequency range and doing all this stuff, is because part of the sound, the amp in the room sound, is an amp that's too loud and hurts your hearing, is and an amp where you're hearing mostly reflection off the wall. I know I've said this a million times, but my point is, you didn't hear Hendrix, you didn't hear all those guys, and honestly, they're not even really hearing themselves much either. You're all just hearing, oh gosh, I just heard an amp fall over in the back. You're just hearing, you're hearing the sound from these giant speakers like fill the air, or like you're really not hear. What is a direct sound? How can you hear anything? And you don't hear like I hear, by the way. So this romance, this like needless romance for this old school stuff is so obnoxious. It's so dumb. It's like the guy who tried to smoke and go me the other day. I'm in my Tesla, and he tries to smoke and go me with his diesel truck, which he failed at, by the way, because I saw him coming. And I just sped right past it. And then we get to the light, and I stop next to him, and he's like smiling because I'm looking at him, and I'm not mad. I get it's funny. I would've been mad if I was like in a Cor in a in like a Corvette with my top down. I mean, I would've been pissed because I would've smelt it all. But I was recirculating the air from the outside anyway, so no sweat off my back. And I get it. And why did he do it? Why did he do it? Does he think Teslas harm the environment? They don't. I know there's this ridiculous article going around about Germany. Ask me another time to explain to you why that article about Germany is completely out of context. I'll just tell you right now. Everybody who says electric cars harm the environment more than their unleaded gasoline counterparts, I'll just break it down for you. That article about Germany, I want to tell you two things about that article. One, that article is comparing diesel, which is cleaner than the fuel we use here, the unleaded fuel we use here, to electric energy in Germany specifically. Now, why is it interesting that it's in Germany specifically? Well, because Germany gets 70 plus percent of its energy from coal, not from nuclear, not from any other, not from wind, not from solar, not from any other source. So literally, they produce electricity in the dirtiest way possible, and they use the cleanest form of fuel possible, the cleanest form of gasoline possible, which is diesel fuel. And so, when you compare the very dirty way they produce their electricity, they are correct. They're only correct in that instance, though. They're not correct in the United States. And here's the other thing that they failed to mention. Those guys who wrote that paper were telling the German government, you need to stop doing subsidies for electric cars because they might not be cleaner than diesel cars, which we already have. And really, the subsidy money should go towards another fuel technology that they were supporting. But the thing they didn't tell you is that Germany specifically is in the middle of a very large switch where they have committed that electricity in their country will no longer be made from 70 plus percent coal, because Germany is one of the actually they're producing electricity in one of the dirtiest ways you can in among its European counterparts. And so they are in the middle of a transition where they want to flip it. They want electricity production in Germany to go from 70% coal to 70% renewable sources. And once they get 1 year or 18 months into that switch, that article is completely moot. Then the electric cars will be vastly cleaner than a diesel engine, because you will be producing electricity in a cleaner way. Germany is a strange country for that reason, in that they're still producing so much of their electricity in a very dirty way. You could produce electricity in renewable ways, but they also have very clean running vehicles compared to the United States or other places. So while I appreciate that article, I have done a lot of research on this, and I'm not, I didn't buy a Tesla for the purpose of saving the planet. I bought it because I'll get into it on another podcast called Why I Bought a Tesla. And it's going to be about, it's purely for the economics of it. The economics of buying a car are about to get shifted on their head. I'll explain that in the next podcast, but in this podcast, and it goes along with the line with this thing of things don't make sense. This Model 3 is going to make me 4 or 5 times the amount of money it cost me. It's going to make me more money than it costs me. I actually am a person who doesn't believe in consumer debt. I did the whole Dave Ramsey thing, and I don't have any debt. I don't believe in debt. I financed this car. I'm going to explain to you why. Why this car, even though it cost a good amount of money. Now, a lot of people think all Teslas cost $70,000, $80,000, $90,000. This car costs half of that. This car costs less than my minivan was new, although we bought the minivan used. It costs only about 20% more than my RAV4 did when it was new. I didn't get a bunch of features and stuff. But I'm going to explain to you in an upcoming episode why I bought this Tesla and why things that don't make sense should really be examined. It doesn't make sense that this Kemper sounded great running through another tube amplifier, even if it's flat, and then through a tube speaker. But guess what? Or a tube speaker, through a guitar speaker. But guess what? Michael Britt's on the road right now trying it out. I'm trying it out right here, and I'm trying to have John and Nate come over and tell me I'm not crazy before I go put my name on something and say, hey, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. You know, this is a way you should go. But what I'm experiencing is people just have narratives, and they aren't always true, right? You look at people right now, they just have a narrative, and they go, look, here's a political thing. You want to talk about politics? Look, here's a narrative. Here's a narrative right here. Alabama made abortions illegal, okay? Now, I'm not going to weigh in on whether what I think about that. People can assume what I think, or and it really doesn't matter. This is not a political podcast. The thing is, no matter what you believe about that, the question in a democracy or a democratic republic should always be, is the will of the people being listened to? And so a lot of times the narrative I hear is there's a bunch of old white men telling women what to do with their bodies. Now, that may be a true narrative, but that should be a narrative that's talked about in the context of Alabama. And what's happening is we take that context, we cherry pick what's happening in Alabama, and then we make statements about the rest of the country, right? And we say, look, all these old white men telling women what to do with their bodies. But that's not happening in California. That's not happening in New York. That's not happening in Illinois. It's not happening in Florida. It's not happening in Oregon. It's not happening in more progressive states. So to say that that's happening in America or in the United States is not genuine intellectually. It's not intellectually honest. There are two states that, now, if you're on the other side and you say, finally, the government's standing up for the rights of the unborn. Well, that's not really true. That because it's only happening in two states. It's not happening everywhere. It's not, if you say, oh, the economy's great. Well, no, that's not, I mean, that might be true overall, but that might not be true for the states like Michigan, where 40,000 jobs have been lost to automation, where the suicide rate is so high among former factory workers that the suicide rate is so high among factory workers, white middle-aged male factory workers in the United States, they have actually for the first time lowered the life expectancy level in like the last in like 60 years. It's the first time that the average life expectancy of America has actually gone down. And if you remove them from the situation, if you remove, because that life expectancy counts for everybody. People who, like babies who die, kids who die, young people who die, like middle-aged people who die, people in car accidents. It's everybody's life expectancy. It's everybody's average. It's not just how long are you going to live if nothing else kills you. If you remove them, our life expectancy is still improving. If you leave those people in, they're killing themselves at such a high rate. The opioid epidemic is killing people at such a high rate. that it actually makes us all die earlier on average. So, but what I'm saying is that's a narrative, right? It's people who want to say something that's true. Now, I hate to, sorry to use those political things. Just it's all over the place. It's all over the news and stuff. So it's where my mind goes, you know. People have these narratives, so they say these narratives like, "Here's all these people telling women what to do with their bodies in Alabama." Well, but here's the thing. That's only happening in Alabama. The question that should be asked is, did people in Alabama vote for this? They didn't. But what if Alabama did all support this? What if it was 100% support? It wouldn't stop the narrative. See, politics, big party politics, are about the narrative. People think it's about the narrative, right? Oh, electric's not good. Electric cars, blah, 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 blah. I don't like global warming, so electric cars must be bad. Ah, the robots are gonna take over the world. It's a narrative. It's a narrative that Silicon Valley is liberal. So, oh, they're censoring all these things. It's a narrative. They might be. They might be liberal. That's not the point. They might be censoring one voice over another. But it's the narrative. It's not, if the thing is, you know what I'm saying, it's a narrative. If you proved it wrong, it doesn't change people's minds. This is what I want to leave you with. The reason digital will win is not because we will convince the people. It's not because, and the reason progress happens, the reason marijuana is legal today is not because we convinced people who never used marijuana that it was somehow not harmful. It's that that generation got old and died, and younger generations came up who all tried marijuana in high school, college. They didn't die. They have friends who smoke it, even if they don't. I don't smoke. I don't smoke anything. I don't eat edibles. I don't do any of that. I'm just not into it. I don't really drink alcohol either. But no judgment if you do either of those things. The thing is though, to me, they're not stigmatized. I knew this girl in college who was so highly productive, she smoked every single morning. And she said, HW, I smoke and it brings me down and I can focus. Her name was Kate. And I won't say her last name, but her name was Kate. And she was so studious. She did all our group work. Kate is the reason I got through college and did group work, because Kate did it all for us. And you know what? She did it high as a kite and she was a straight A student. And so there's no like, reaper or reefer mania, or reefer craze, or reefer insanity about that stuff they used to talk about. The thing is, the old generation just dies, and so do their ideas. We don't. That's what progress is about. Our parents didn't want strangers to pick them up in cars. We do. My son, when I showed him that I could get out of my car, press a button on my phone, and my car would drive itself out of the garage and up to the driveway, or from the driveway up to the garage. I did this demonstration. He started out watching it, and when I look back, he was staring down at his Nintendo Switch again. Do you know why? He is not going to be amazed that a car drives itself, because in his world, they just do. And in my world, Kempers sound like amps, because they just do. Because I was never raised with, oh, here's this crummy digital. Yes, I tried a pod, but I'm young enough that when someone shows me something that sounds good, I don't have all these years and years of watching Jimmy Page and Eric Clapton. Those dudes were old when I started listening to them. And I've all and I watched people work on Pro Tools. I never had a DAT. I never had an ADAT. I never did. I did the first record I was ever a part of. We did bounce from Pro Tools to tape. But other than that, I never recorded to tape. I never used all this vintage stuff. I used it later when it was expensive, and when people would let me try it, and when I would buy it, try it, and then sell it, because that's what I thought was the Holy Grail. You know, it was like, I've heard that these $3,000 amps are everything. So when I had a car that cost $1,500, I'd buy a $3,000 amp. Because I'm a tone junkie. Y'all don't know. You see me now. You see me now that I got a job and stuff and a blah, 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 and I have a Tesla and stuff. You don't know. You don't know. Digital marketing's been good to me. Digital marketing's all about the margins, and companies will pay a good amount for digital marketing. So even if I stepped away from my dad's office lately, and I made Tone Junkie my full-time thing, but I'm not comfortable with it being my full-time thing. There's too many things that could change with Tone Junkie. It's fine right now, and it's great. And I say it's my full-time thing because it's what I'm spending the most amount of time with. But I've got two projects I'm working on that are going to become my full-time thing in the next 6 months. And I love Tone Junkie too much to make it my full-time thing and make it the thing that I, you know, have to do. It's the thing I love doing. Kempers sound like amps. Cars can drive themselves. Robots call you on the telephone. Welcome to 2019. You don't need to put up a Marshall at 120 decibels and go, "Oh, it sounds so great. It sounds so, nothing sounds like this. Even order harmonics, blah, 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 blah." BS, y'all. Malarkey. It ain't true. Go Google SpaceX rocket landing. NASA always shot rockets into space. And then they blew them up. They would just blow up and go into space. And it would cost millions and millions and millions of dollars. And someone finally said, "You know, it'd be great. What if we landed the rocket and used it again?" And you watch the rockets land themselves. You ever see a rocket take off? It points straight up from the ground. A big fireball comes and it shoots straight up in the air. Now let me tell you what it looks like when a rocket lands. It slowly comes down with a giant fireball, lands straight up and down them. It looks like you're playing a landing in reverse. They can get that thing from space to hit a little floating dealie, a little floating dolly thing in space. They can just. They can. You thought the podcast was over? It's not. They were. They just. You, they. They can go from space all the way down to the ocean and land on like this platform. My car warned me when I wasn't looking up and there was a guy slammed on his brakes and went beep 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 beep. And I hit the brakes. And had I not, it would have hit the brakes and steered around the guy for me. It stays in its lane and it'll overtake slow cars if I tell it where I want to go. I drove 30 miles and didn't touch the wheel. The Kemper can sound like a tube amp. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. What can I do about that? I'm HW. Thanks for listening. HW out.